This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. Like basically everybody else on the planet, I love me some Beyoncé. Of course, the experience of seeing her live is unmatched, but there's also something special about a good reimagined Beyoncé cover, especially when it's live at a chamber music performance. This is Chicago's very own Black Chamber Music Collective. They were covering Queen Bee before Bridgerton was doing it for other pop songs. The ensemble is called Decomposed.
We exclusively celebrate the music of Black composers. I think that's a really important part to highlight. But also it's about centering Black musicians as well as Black audiences in every single thing that we do. So you'll hear us say the word Black a lot when talking about Decomposed. Yes.
This is Corey Coleman, the executive and artistic director at Decomposed. I'll talk to her and Tahira Whittington, who's a cellist, composer, and founding member. Her and Corey were there right at the start with a few other musicians.
We were the initial founding members and core members of Decomposed when it started, oh my gosh, 7 seasons ago.
I know! Woo!
Now you can probably tell that the vibes were vibing when I had Tahira and Corey in the studio. I already knew that Decomposed was not your usual chamber music ensemble. For one, their goal is to make their events as approachable as possible. They're usually free, and they encourage the audience members to come as they are, nothing fancy. Unless you're feeling fancy, of course. But as for a lot of the Decomposed musicians, this is the first all-Black ensemble they've ever been in. So I wanted to start by getting a sense of what chamber music usually looks like for these ensemble members. I asked Corey to set the stage.
So when I was coming up as a musician, you know, I played violin and oboe. I remember music feeling just super formal. I had teachers that were all about, you need to practice this many hours. We were going to recitals and it felt very competitive. So I was always in a space where music wasn't as fun for me, transparently, because of that competition aspect. Mm. So I've always wondered, like, I enjoy music so much, but I wish it was fun. And I think that is kind of like always the mindset that we have with Decompose is let's still have this excellence, but let's have joy. Let's have it be a celebration. And Decompose is really kind of what I wish I would have seen when I was coming up. Mm. And it's not meant to be rigid. We want people to come as they are. We want people to tell the stories that they want to tell and not have those same constraints that you often see within classical music spaces.
Tahira, does that resonate when it comes to Corey talking about being, again, coming up as a musician, being a younger person starting to learn a chamber music instrument?
Absolutely. I had my first chamber music experience in elementary school, and it was fun. It's like the first, you know, buddings of being with a small ensemble and being with your friends. As I grew up and was a part of music schools and music conservatories, that formality really did come into play, where we had to look a certain way, we had to address the audience a certain way, we had to select certain pieces of music that would prove ourselves in a certain way. And so being with Decomposed has been so freeing in that regard, because we are playing music of our culture. We are playing music outside of the classical genre that we love to listen to and dance to and sing to.
Yeah.
And then to see our audiences relax and be invited into this is just on another level.
Yeah.
I'm curious too about, I know, Tahira, that you played with the Hamilton Ensemble as well. This was around the time when you first started with Decomposed, right? Okay, you know, as an audience, I'm in the audience. I'm looking at the people on stage. Everybody black, everybody brown, except for the king. And in my brain, it seemed to follow that the chamber musicians, that the orchestra, whoever was playing, were also, you know, of that demographic. But was that the case?
No.
Okay.
It was not the case. And I was surprised by that, too.
Mm-hmm.
You see all of this diversity and chocolatiness on stage, and it is not mirrored in the pit when I started. It's gotten better. It has gotten better through the years. But when I started in 2016, what you saw on stage was not mirrored in the pit.
Okay.
I was one of two black members in the 10-piece band, and I was the only woman of color in the 10-piece band out of the three women that were there.
Hmm.
So it was very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very different as far as the vibe.
Shall we say?
We're just going to say bye.
We're just going to say bye.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. But it, I did have the experience, thankfully, to come back around to Hamilton this past winter.
Okay.
When the Philip Company came to Chicago, and to experience it where half of the pit were black. Very different experience, very different feel.
How so? Tell me, how did it feel different this time?
I felt at home.
Mm-hmm.
I felt at home, I felt seen, and I felt supported.
Mm. Corey, I know a part of the mission, again, as you said, we about to say black a lot of times.
Yes. Come on, black people.
Can you expand upon what it looks like when you say you're centering black people, you're centering black culture? Like, give me some examples of how that really comes through with Decomposed.
So I would say with the centering of black people, we are always looking for partners and collaborators that are black. But when it comes to the partners that we're looking at, have you even worked with black people before? Are you in community with black communities? And those are the partnerships that we prioritize. And then when it comes to our collaborations and the stories that we're telling, we recognize that being black, we are not a monolith. So we don't want to highlight just one type of story. We want to make sure we have all those range of expressions. And for one of our collaborations, Decomposition, we had Avery share a poem that was about whoopings. Short answer, it was about whoopings. And then
this was a poem about whoopings.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. From Avery, who is whom?
Oh, Avery R. Young, our Chicago poet laureate.
Ah, yes.
But it was called...
Oh, Avery.
Yes, Avery.
We know him as Avery.
but it was called But to Rod, but we wanted to highlight that experience. But then we had another poem by Rach that was not sure how...
I'm sorry, But to Rod. It just hit. Okay. All right, continue.
But to Rod. And then we had another poem with Rach that was, I'm not sure how much I could say.
Rach Jackson.
Sorry, I'm on a first name basis, everybody. with Rach Jackson that was talking about self-love as well as some self-pleasure. And what I think is unique about that is we're able to tackle topics that I think you might not hear in classical music settings that they're afraid of offending. And we're like, these are all of our stories.
Mm.
So we want to make sure our artists have the space to be able to tell whatever stories that they want to tell. So
yeah,
in short, that's how we're centering blackness, making sure all those ways that we show up is celebrated within our programming.
Yeah. Tell me about your approach to creating space around the music that Decomposed makes.
So it's all comes down to recognizing that our audience, they have interests, they have identity, there's people. And I think oftentimes when we think about audiences in the performing arts setting, it's like, this person's 18 to 34 years old and they haven't gone to a classical music concert, but we aren't thinking about well, this person probably had a rough year and we should have some type of way for them to release their emotions. Or this parent is new and doesn't even know what they want to expose their kids to, so we should think about this program. So every time we create something, it's thinking about what is something that people actually need. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we're received so well, is there really is something for everyone within the Decompose programming universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Decompose, y'all perform music. So tell me about that part.
So what's interesting about our music is while we exclusively focus on the music of Black composers, we decided that it's important to redefine who gets to be called the composer. I think oftentimes we're thinking of the very traditional definition of they have to write with a quill and they're only Mozart. And
you know, that's the image in my head. Mm-hmm. It's an old ass pen mm-hmm. with a feather.
Exactly.
Someone's writing. Yes.
And I think a lot of times people forget that there are people who are still composing. Like when I talk about the fact that we focus on music of Black composers, there's this light bulb that goes off with people like, oh, I didn't even know people were still composing. And that's a really big thing that we want to highlight is living creators. So we feature everyone from our great friend Ahmed Alabaka, Jesse Montgomery, Daniel Bernard Rumain. But then when you also attend a Decompose program, you might hear some Beyonce, you might hear some Solange, you might hear some Janelle Monáe, and we include them within that definition because they are music makers, mm-hmm. they are music creators, and it's important for people to kind of see themselves within this art form instead of it feeling so distant.
Yes, yes, I love that. I love hearing a little Beyonce. Tahira, you've played with the Hamilton show. You've played all over the world, all kinds of settings. Tell me about this experience with Decomposed. Tell me how this feels compared with other settings that you are used to performing in.
Absolutely. I'll go to our rehearsal room first.
All right. Yeah, take us
our
there.
Our rehearsal room, when I'm with the other members of Decomposed, I feel completely myself. Mm-hmm. Completely myself. There are no guards. There are no hindrances to who I am. There are no filters. We cut up. We cut up in our rehearsals. If there's a moment where we just need to act silly, we'll do that. If we need to just have a cackling, laughing, free-for-all, singing, dancing moment, we mm-hmm. will do that
okay.
in our rehearsals because that feeds our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts in the rehearsal room where we're cultivating this music and this experience for our people to experience what we fed our spirits with.
Yes, it's giving choir rehearsal.
Come on.
Yes.
In the last 10 years, I've been coming across artists that connect chamber music to Black culture. I went to the Hip Hop Nutcracker last year, which was beautiful. Always there's people on Instagram, YouTube, beatboxing, tap dancing during chamber music performances. Given all of that, where do you feel like Decomposed sits in all of this?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's a great question.
I would say one of the things I really want to touch on is like you named all of these people, but we are in Chicago and we are rooted here. We are most of our impact is here and we're committed to that. I think a lot of times what you see happen with artists is they start out somewhere that they blow up and go to New York and L.A.
Mm-hmm.
and that won't be our story. I'm fine with just putting that on the record. I think it's important for us to be Chicago's and for Chicago to be able to say, like, we could go see a Decomposed performance, or Decomposed is not only from here, they're still here. And when we go see them do something in New York, we know they're going to be at the library next week.
Yes.
Like, that isn't really important for us mm-hmm. to make sure that we are rooted somewhere. So in terms of where we exist, rooted, impact Chicago, but we will be expanding our reach and presence like internationally. So
okay,
we got Brazil later this year.
Okay, Brazil. Oh my God, I'm jelly. I've never been there.
Yeah.
Tahira, how would you answer that? Where do you feel like Decompose lives within this space?
I've never thought of it that way. Mm. I feel like there are so many spaces to inhabit, and it's there's no limit to that. You know, so I don't feel like we need to etch ourselves into a space, you know, in between others.
Mm.
Yeah. I just feel like everybody has their own expression. Everybody has their unique expression, and all are welcome.
It's all needed. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we all need to thrive in that.
Tahira Whittington is a cellist, composer, and founding member of Decomposed. Tahira, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Erin, for having us.
And Corey Coleman is the executive and artistic director at Decomposed. Corey, thank you.
Thank you so much for a wonderful conversation.
You can learn more about Decomposed. Go to their website, decomposed.com, like the letter D, composed.com. And that's it for today. Justin Bull, Sarah Stark, and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve is our editor and executive producer. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. Some of the other music you heard in this episode was performed by Decomposed and composed by Tamika Reed. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you loved this episode and you love the show, rate us, review us. It helps more people find the show. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening to The Rundown. I'll talk to you tomorrow.